It's really quite crazy, absolutely crazy. I went to the store the other day and just going to pick out one box of cereal. There were thousands. It seemed like the entire length of the aisle, and even on the other side, there's at least 5 to 6 to 7 different kinds of cornflakes. And if you want to look at cereals, I mean, listen, what a world of confusion. Can you imagine a little child going down the cereal aisle and looking at all the boxes and everything? And listen, there are so many. It's absolutely crazy. I mean, we are in a land of plenty, really. So many brands, so many types, so many different flavors. It's really quite crazy. But you know what's even crazier than that is individuals thinking that there are many Christs, that there is that there are many that can show themselves in many different ways. Listen, we're going to deal with this issue of the many that people are trying to proclaim today. I was reading David Icke. And I noticed in some of his literature that he talked about many Christs and where there are many crosses. And I began to look at the other Christs that he were I was like, who in the world is that? Who in the world's that one? And I began to compare them and look at the literature. And I'm like, this there is no comparison on an honest historical and research level. How could someone do that to obscure the Christ of God? So this week, we're going to do this. Here's the title of the theme of the week. Who is Jesus and why did he come? So listen, whatever your background, who is Jesus and why did he come? Here's what I wrote on the page. A question I'm asking psychics, remote viewers, occultists, New Agers and 2012ers, alienologists and philosophers and scientists. And yes, you who read this at this moment, who and why? Who is Jesus and why did he come? Now again, let that theme repeat itself all during the week, because for the many of you that are listening right now, listen, well over satellite, I believe it's transponder 5, located at 97.0 degrees west. And then there's also BCCR 101.3 FM, Boulder City, Nevada. And then you, by the thousands, Internet Y. I mean, really, Internet radio is becoming, it's the largest radio system in the world. It really is. And then there's those that you doubt, that listen all over the world. So many of you that have written. I am just absolutely amazed this week. You know what happened? Someone had the kindness. I mean, they have sent me a shirt with Hebrew on it. It's just absolutely incredible. Where some will take the time and. You know, of course, we never ask for something like this, but somebody sent a gift of a shirt, a beautiful shirt. I want to say thank you. We're going to write you a letter this week. We have been out for a number of days. And by the way, this is Russ Dizdar, Shatter the Darkness live broadcast here on a Monday night. We are already at December the 6th. I was down in Nashville Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, actually leaving Thursday. And we have... we had some great weather down there. Coming up here in the middle of the night, we had some weather that was absolutely crazy. And then I get back here to where I live. There must be 7 inches coming down out here now. And in some areas, 9. In other places, schools are closing. I felt like I just drove back up into January. But here we are, December the 6th, 2010. Not too far from 2011, which is going to be a big year. And we are going to engage that year by the grace of God. Listen, welcome to all of you listening tonight. May God in his providence in this 1 hour may make it a great, grace-filled, mercy-filled, supernatural hour. May the Spirit of God draw in everyone who needs to be drawn in, truly. Because I'm asking the psychics, I'm asking the remote viewers, I'm asking the occultists and New Agers and 2012ers. Here's the question, who is Jesus and why did he come? Tonight we're going to deal particularly with, even secret societies and cult founders and so forth. And the number one reason why every one of them, they all have a Jesus, but he's collectively, completely different than the Christ of God. Now, Tuesday night, we're going to deal with who and why, and in Jesus' own words. And then Wednesday night, we're going to deal with a particular remote viewer that we dealt with before. We want to go over some of it again because it is a massively growing field. And thousands upon thousands of more individuals worldwide, they're getting into remote viewing. They're being let in because it seems like a sanitized endeavor that is nothing more than a human enhancement, something that's in us that we can all do. Well, listen, we all have spiritual capacities, but what doors we open to and what doors we knock on, well, it makes all the difference in the world. In the day that we're living in, Thursday night, listen to the title, The Massive Danger of a Fake Jesus, and The Massive Danger of Promoting a False Christ. Friday night, who and why Jesus came the first time, and who and why Jesus and the second coming. We're going to deal with that. Now, tonight as we deal with this one simple question, who is Jesus and why did he come? Let me tell you something. Out of the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24, it is inseparably connected to wars and rumors of wars, nations that are going to battle one another, famines in the world, globalism. It involves the political, the economic, the military that we always talk about. It involves everything. It is probably the most predominant message of the New Testament concerning the end of time. Jesus said these words, and again, if he's going to speak them, then we better really listen to the warning in this prophetic utterance of Matthew 24. He predicts that in the last of days, the signs of the end of the age, don't let anybody deceive you. I mean, here's Jesus' warning. This is how he engages the entire discussion of the end of days. It's the title of his book. I mean, literally, if Jesus was to write the book, the title's got to be, Don't Let Anybody Deceive You. And the very next words out of the mouth of Jesus. You know what they are? Verse 5, for many will come in my name claiming I am the Christ. For many will come in my name claiming I am the Christ. So you're going to have across the board in the very end of days. That's why when you look at Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormon, and you look at the Moonies, and you look at Scientology, or you look at the Masons, or you look at 2012ers, or you look at the New Age, the largest, I mean, is vast, vast compilation of spiritual eclectic approach, yes, but it's all got the, ultimately it's the same message. I mean, whether you get down to the Crystal Skulls or you look at the Georgia Guidestones, or you go up and look at Stonehenge, when you get back into the roots of all of it and you begin to hear the message that people are bringing from it, you're going to all find that there is a presentation of a Christ. Even the book by Sylvia Brown, I did a commentary on a month ago, all about Christ, but not one iota of truth in the entire book. An entire book dedicated, written by a psychic who acknowledges the spirit guide that guides her, and not one iota of truth throughout the entire book concerning the Christ. Once again, a massive presentation of another Christ. And if you come to the Moonies worldwide, a massive presentation of another Christ. And you can do this across the board. There's been a great presentation of many Christs. But we've got to ask the question, especially if you are engaged and are embracing in some way a false Christ. Let's ask the question again, who is Jesus and why did he come? Because the words that he speaks And the answer to these questions are literally going to be off the pages of all the contemporary, growing, new revelations of a de-deified, alienologist Christ, philosopher Christ, scientist, or at least they say they're scientists Christ, and even the remote viewer. You know, the remote viewer that most of us think in terms of the military individuals that are spying and looking into the filing cabinets of the secrets in Russia. But yet now we have remote viewers, remote viewing the past, engaging Christ, looking at him, or having direct personal meetings with Christ. We're going to talk about that all this week. We are glad that you are here with us tonight. And let me say again, for all those who are new, this is Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net on the web, shatterthedarkness.net. On the web, hundreds of downloads all across the board. At this point, all of the coursework that we've done, training work, seminars, everything is going up. And we're talking by the hundreds of MP3s, training MP3s, absolutely free. So you're going to have to take your time when you go to the website and just absolutely, you know, little by little by little go through. But there are hundreds of college level, Bible school level training materials that are absolutely free. And we're noticing again the downloads going all around the world. And we want to say a special hello to, well, some new friends that have written that are off the coast of South Africa. And it's literally by the Port Louis or Port Louis, is it? And it's way out there. I mean, you've got to really satellite down to be able to even see the little island. And a dear South African and husband is an Israeli, and they're living there and doing ministry. And they got a hold of my book and now are downloading, and they sent me a note. I'm going to respond to theirs tonight at some point. We have a lot of emails that have come in over the last few days, and we'll be getting back as much as possible to all of you. But we want to say that it is, again, great to be with you. I want to say a special word to anybody in the military in China and in Russia, and that please keep listening. To those in the Vatican area that have been downloading, please keep listening. Don't be afraid to continue to listen and to be involved. Well, again and again and again, I get emails like this. Russ, we haven't heard about this information. It's vitally needed, and we wish there were others teaching, and we have a number of people, even this week, that have said, Russ, where's a church that shares in this context, that tells individuals about this information? And I'm going to tell you right now that it's very hard, and I don't know what to tell you at times other than praying for the local churches and praying for the local pastors. And let me tell you what happened to me this weekend. Mainly because we had kind of an interruption in all of our work this last Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. And plus, we needed to see my aging mother. And so it was a combination of things that caused me to need to abruptly go and see her. And while we're down there on Sunday morning, and we're looking for a place just to visit a church, and I really found a place that I felt God connected me to. I mean, I really did, because being outside of pastoring local churches for 30 years, it's it's looking around, and it is tough. A lot of good places, a lot of nice things going on, but looking for what I can only hope to see, it's hard, and I know it's hard for some of you. But I don't give up on the body of Christ. I don't give up on the work of Christ in the midst of the body. And I want to be a faithful brother, just simply in the Lord. And so my wife and I, we go to a local place on Sunday morning at 10:30. And they begin with the worship, and they begin to go on. And, you know, literally the Spirit of God was there, and Christ was being honored and glorified. And I was blessed. I really was. And they had a few other things that went on that were great, and the pastor got up, and all of a sudden I got to hear a tremendous just unveiling of the scripture and just an absolute beautiful word of God that came out. Very powerful, very awesome, and a Christ-like man of God. I was so glad. And I was so glad that there was such an emphasis on Christ and on salvation. And when they gave the invitation, the clarity of that invitation to come to Christ, well, people got saved. And they had baptisms that day. And when it was all done, and of course, I don't know what it was, but all the folks must have known we were new. I mean, there were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people there. But so many people came up to us and welcomed us and talked to us, and it was really quite amazing. But what absolutely blew my wig off, what absolutely brought me to tears, and I had to absolutely keep back from bursting out in tears right in the place. When I got in the car, man, I just couldn't even talk to my wife without just weeping and weeping. Of the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, and the beauty of what just occurred. I felt like I had been at a great revival in which God's presence and power and Jesus was so literally unveiled that I was stunned and so appreciative. But out of everything that occurred, here's what occurred that absolutely brought me to tears. At least for a couple of hours afterwards. And towards the very end, my wife and I are sitting together, and all of a sudden, a lady, probably about 75 or 78 years old, reaches from behind, sitting from behind us. She reaches forward and grabs my shoulder and shakes my shoulder. I turn around. She has the most Christ-like, beautiful, love-filled face. And she looks at me and says, "Sir, do you and your wife know Jesus? Are you both saved?" She had a great concern, a great love. She was desiring to know whether I knew the living Christ, whether I was saved. And again, I about lost it right then, and I looked at her and I said, "Yes, thank you. We're both born again. We both, you know Jesus. We're both saved. We know the Lord." And she patted me on my shoulder. She was filled with joy in the response that I gave her. And even when we left later on going outside, she was there to say a word to us and bless us as we went to our car. I got in the car to tell my wife about that experience. She was looking forward, talking with somebody else that was offering her their Bible, because we didn't have a Bible when we came in, and to say we can use their Bible to listen and use as the preacher preached. But I sat in the car and I said to my wife, "You know, it's been 20 to 25 years since anyone." I mean, I'm out there all the time. I mean, this is what we're all about here. Sharing Christ, being a soul winner. That's all I can tell you that I care about. But I realized sitting there that probably, and I was trying to figure it out, 20, 25, 30 years. Nobody's come to my car. Nobody stopped me as a visitor in a church. Nobody's come up on the street corner. Nobody met me in a mall. I don't remember in 25 to 30 years anybody coming up and asking me whether I knew Jesus, whether I was saved. With the greatest sense of love and urgency and desire, a 78-year-old woman had the guts. And I guess that spoke to me, once again, caused me to realize that maybe many of you, nobody's ever said, "Do you know Jesus? Are you saved?" That dear 78-year-old woman, she knew that was the central, most important issue of life, as I do. It wasn't me turning around asking her. It was her having the guts to ask me. And I just want you to know, listen, I in the context of what we're talking about this week, that is something that will probably ring in my experience all week long. Do you know Jesus? Are you saved? And so I'm going to ask the psychic, and I'm going to ask the remote viewer and the occultist and the New Ager. I'm going to ask you listening right now or listening in the archives, you know, for the reason that you listen, for the divine appointment of this moment. Do you know Jesus? And are you saved? Because for her and for the revelation of Scripture and for the revelation of the cross, it is the most important issue of life. It really is. You see, all of this has to do with the urgency of the end of days, because in the end of days, many are going to come out there. They're going to claim they're the Christ. They're going to present a different Christ. They're going to unveil another one. And that obscurity and that heresy and that lie will bring preoccupation and distraction to hundreds of millions with a spiritual agenda to divert billions around the world. So I'm going to say with urgency tonight that the question, who is Jesus and why did he come? And the question that I'm going to ask you as you're listening now or later, do you know Jesus and are you saved? You see, when I read Sylvia Brown and read her materials and watched how she tried to unveil and paint a picture of a psychic, de-deified, little, pocket-sized, rabbit's foot-sized Jesus, I noticed one thing through all of her books. She could never say, I know Jesus. She could never talk about Jesus in a personal relationship, you know, way. She couldn't talk about his love, his power, his saving work, how much she loves him. Jesus was, in her view, you know, way out there as the little fake psychic Jesus. And even the little fake psychic Jesus, she didn't talk about him. The only personal relationship she had was with her spirit guide that was guiding her to reinterpret Scripture and reinterpret Christ. So I would ask Alice Bailey, I would ask Helena Blavatsky, I would ask Aleister Crowley, I would ask John Dee, I would ask Jack Parsons, I would ask across the board. I would ask Miku Kaku. I would ask Stephen Hawking. Do you know Jesus? And are you saved? And when this lady asked me that question Sunday morning, just yesterday morning, and I looked back, did you notice? Listen, it was so, I mean, I was able to say instantly, yes, yes, we both know Jesus. Personal relationship, personal interaction, a knowing that we know that we know. It's not just even the gift of eternal life, not just the forgiveness of sin, not just the power of God within, but the fact that we actually know Jesus, that he's actually in our lives, that that issue is inseparably connected to the biggest issues of life. If you want to talk about Nephilim, that's fine. But the question is, do you know about Jesus? Do you know him personally? Are you saved? So by God's supernatural, incredible, sovereign ability, as we pray this week, and many of you believers can pray with us, that psychics and remote viewers and occultists and New Agers and 2012ers and alienologists and philosophers and scientists and Scientologists and Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses, and yes, even you Satanists and Luciferians, to the atheists, You don't know anyone. I don't even know if you know yourself. I don't even know if you really understand yourself. So we're going to engage it all week long, and I'm going to continue to ask the question, because it does have everything to do with the massive global themes, with nations that are going to be battling and saber rattling, with the economic siphoning off of trillions of dollars into the Antichrist's checkbook. And though I hear even on worldwide radio talk shows and others, they talk about the Antichrist, they talk about the end of days, they talk about the prophecies of the end of days, but so many of them do not understand that the reason for the Antichrist is because of the real Christ. This is not the fake psychic Jesus. This is not the anti-fake alien Jesus. This is not the anti-fake secret society Jesus. The Antichrist will stand in direct counterfeit to, with the goal of replacing, the real Christ of God. And the answer to who he is and why he came, man, it is huge. It is huge. And if you know the living Christ, and I ask you, do you know Jesus? I know what you're going to say. I know what your response is going to be. The fact is, today, my friend, you either know him or you don't. You either have him in your life or you don't. And that includes all of what he's done at the cross and all that is being done in your life right now and all that's going to be done. As glorious as knowing Christ is, it's but a taste of what is to come through him. It's what this salvation is all about. So don't ask me to be ashamed of salvation, to be ashamed of the real Christ. Don't ask me to be ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God globally. It is the power of God worldwide. It is the power of God unto salvation. Are you saved? Do you know Christ? Who is Jesus and why did he come? Now listen, the Albert Pike Mason will tell you, they'll tell you a story and begin to paint a picture about an obscure little fake Jesus that literally can't be known, can't be, you know, how do you know the fake Jesus? I mean, I've never met in all of my years now, 35, 36 years of being a believer in Christ, of all the Satanists, of all the occultists, of all the New Agers, I've never met anybody that says, hey man, I know the de-deified psychic Jesus and he is great. I mean, even listen now to the Mormons, and this would be a great word for Glenn Beck to ask the question, who is Jesus? Why did he come? Because if you're going to talk about faith, if you're going to talk about God, if you're going to talk about a centrality, the issue is either you know him or you don't. And that is the test of whether the Spirit of God is inside of you or not. That is the test of whether you really know the living God or not. So you got to ask the Mason. You got to ask the Mormon. You got to ask the Jehovah's Witness. Of all the Mormons that I've dealt with, two of them took me to a library, showed me a film, and tried to present to me a de-deified, different kind, or a Mormon Jesus. A created, de-deified little... I looked at both of these Mormon elder missionary guys, and I would personally ask them again and again, do you know Jesus? The ones that, oh, when I was in, I was in Utah, I had a big experience. I really felt something. Do you know Jesus? Well, I have this, I feel this, I feel something really mysterious. That was the answer I got. Two Jehovah's Witnesses come to my door. I'm painting the house. My daughter, gets me and I come out and they've got paint all over me. I begin to talk to them. I don't shoo them away. I don't pray them away. I'm glad they're there to engage. As they begin to ask me questions, I begin to ask them questions. You know what I said? Do you know the real Jesus? Does the living Christ dwell within you? See, Jesus said this in John's Gospel, chapter 17. Have you read that? When Jesus praying to the Father, and all the reasons why he came, and who he is, and what his work was all about, you know what he deals with in that chapter? When he says that I myself might be in us, might be dwelling within us. See, that's the testimony of any human being that really knows Christ. That Jesus is alive, that he lives within, And he brings within us all that he has done at the cross. His love, his power, his forgiveness, his new life, his gift of the Holy Spirit. But the centrality is the fact that we know Christ. And so if you're a soldier listening in a base somewhere, if you are, you know, again, I'm going to say downloader-wise, archives-wise, I feel truly there are some Russians that are listening. Military, you're in the military. And there's some Chinese that are listening, you're in the military. And for the Chinese, you're listening, but you're not supposed to be. But something draws you. Something pulls you in. The Spirit of the living God. The Christ that died on the cross 2,000 years ago is for the sum total of all of the human race from beginning to end. Pos anthropos. Those are the words of the Spirit of God in the book of Timothy chapter 2. That when any believer would pray for the salvation of lives, all lives, that this is good and pleases God our Savior, who wills, wants, desires, pos anthropos, all humanity. So if you're Chinese, if you're Russian, if you're listening there in St. James or Santiago, it doesn't make any difference. If you're listening somewhere in privacy, secrecy, the incredible work of the Spirit of God has opened a door for you to hear the message of God and God's summon to you. And this is huge. How could it be any huger? I mean, we've got people running around everywhere waiting for disclosure. They want the extraterrestrials, you know, to land. They want now the WikiLeaks, the guy that's going to release the documents on State Department secrets. They now have information that he might have what the State Department has said about the aliens. And now all the alienologists and all those waiting for disclosure, they want the information. They want to see if there's something the government is talking about, whether the government has talked to the extraterrestrials, to the finite extraterrestrials, you know, the ones that have flown around little ships that have crashed landing. You know, if we look at all of the information on extraterrestrials and we say that it's all true, they are finite. They've demonstrated themselves to be malevolent and not good. They have kidnapped, they have raped, they have stolen, they have cut up, they have killed, they've experimented on human beings. And this is worse. They've done worse than the Nazi doctors. The aliens have done worse. They are pedophiles. They are rapists. They are mad doctors. And people are thinking that extraterrestrials and aliens, that's a huge issue. Does even one person confess they've come to know God through their seeking of the extraterrestrials? Does somebody think for a moment that an extraterrestrial is going to land on the White House lawn and step out and proclaim that they are gods? That they are friends? You ever wonder why all the movies present them primarily as, I mean, they're going to just simply eat us, take us over. The extraterrestrial issue, it's huge worldwide. But it is also a diversion, also a preoccupation. Not one ounce of it can bring you to God. When I was down in Roswell, I met individuals that claimed that they had talked to the extraterrestrials. I met book authors sitting behind tables. I met individuals sitting in the conference rooms that came to listen. I met one individual. He was engaged with the extraterrestrials. And he pulled me aside to tell me that that they're not afraid. The extraterrestrials are not afraid of Jesus. They're not under his authority. They just respect him as one of them, one of their own. How do you know this? I said. Well, they told me. So you believe the finite extraterrestrials that you can't even, you can't verify who they are, where they've come from. And they have given you another revelation of Christ, and they've reduced him, like Helena Blavatsky, like Alice Bailey, like the Jehovah's Witness, like the Scientologist. Have you gotten this yet? Have you noticed whether it is the psychic and remote viewers, because of a great love and a great emphasis the Spirit of God has placed on my life for you? I can't stop praying for you guys by name. All of you authors that I've known by name. Because once again, of the revelations and engagement and now proclamation of a deified, dumbed down, little non-saving Christ. I've never met a psychic that gives testimony about Jesus. Not one. When I went to the temple trying to learn from a master how to leave my body and get to the ascended masters, nobody there told me about Jesus. Nobody there grabbed my shoulder and said, "Do you know Jesus and are you saved?" Not one. Those who have engaged the ascended masters, those who've engaged the spirits, they were willing to lead me to what they've experienced. But the fact of the matter is, they can't lead me to Jesus. They can't lead me to God because they don't know him. They don't know how to get there. They haven't got there themselves. Are you hearing me? Four things quickly. Let me tell you this. A false Christ can't tell you why he came, who he is. A false Christ will never, they're never going to point you to the cross. They're going to point you to a kind of mocked up human evolutionary process. That somehow, some way, if you chase the carrot long enough, you'll get to be what they are. And they aren't much. Let me tell you, number two, false Christ doesn't fit the entirety of the Old Testament prophets, doesn't fit one iota of the New Testament revelation. Let me tell you, thirdly, that a false Christ can't save you. That even if you claim you know the false Christ, let me ask you the question. What has the psychic Jesus done for you? What has the occultist Jesus done for you? What has the cult Jesus done for you? And fourthly, let me say again that every false Christ is meant to be a diversion, a distraction, and are intended to divert you from the living Christ. So I go to California. I'm down there in, a Hollywood area, all around the area, and I end up going to the Scientology building. I share the story of how I go in, and I want to question them. And so they bring me in and take me to a big theater on the inside, and they show me a movie. In this brand new big movie they are showing me in this great big state-of-the-art theater, I'm there by myself watching the movie of a demonstration of how Scientology, they are declaring that it's a religion. We must call it a religion. They're showing me on the screen that Moses failed, Buddha failed, Jesus failed. Then they show me this glowing picture of Ron L. Hubbard. That he sacrificed everything for us, and that he's written for us, and that he, in his writings and the system of Scientology, It's all here to aid us and help us. There wasn't one Scientologist who could tell me who Jesus is and why he came. I met with a Korean on the street. This was a Korean girl committed to Sun Myung Moon and committed to advancing the cause worldwide of the Moonies. I asked her that day on the street who Jesus was. She looked at me and said that Jesus was great, but Sun Myung Moon was awesome, off the chart. Sun Moon didn't die on a cross for her. Sun Moon wasn't dwelling within her life, nor was Jesus Christ. She didn't know Christ. She didn't know his love. She didn't know his power. She didn't know his presence. She didn't know him, nor was she saved. The Jehovah's Witnesses at the airport that gathered around and brought us to their table. After listening to them, I looked straight at them and asked them, "Do you know Jesus? Do you know him in your life?" You see, if you're indwelt by the Spirit of Christ, Romans 8, and if you are born of the Spirit of God, the answer is going to be quickly, yes. I don't care if you're a weak Christian or a very powerfully strong Christian, one thing's for sure, if you are really a believer in Jesus, born of the Spirit of God, then when I ask you the question, do you know him and are you saved, the response is going to be pretty clear. And if I ask you the question, who is Jesus and why did he come? A 78-year-old lady sitting behind me in a row in a church, she knew, and so moved, she leaned forward to evangelize me. And I was overwhelmed by her love for me and her desire for me to know. But I already knew. And we rejoiced together that we both knew Christ. So by the providence of the Spirit of Christ, I'm going to ask the psychic, I'm going to ask the remote viewer, I'm going to ask the occultist and the New Ager and the 2012er, I'm going to ask the alienologist and the philosopher and the scientist, do you know Jesus? That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about when it comes down to it. It involves forgiveness. It involves God's love. It involves new life coming into us. It involves freedom from Satan's rights and rule. It involves a breaking of the death code and the gift of eternal life. It involves the future glorification, indestructible immortality. It involves seeing God face to face. It involves right now the immediacy of knowing God and being able to grow deep in that relationship. But it comes down to one simple thing. Do you know Jesus? And if you do, you can answer the question, who he is, why did he come? If you don't know him, you can't answer the question. Because you don't know. I mean, this incredible word that Jesus gave in John's gospel. And I'm going to say to everybody who is a quester, a seeker, someone who's an intelligent searcher, you're looking for the answer. And maybe like I did, you begin to look under every rock. And out of the things that you've looked at so far, you haven't found God. You haven't found Christ. You don't know him. The words of Jesus in John's gospel, chapter 8, ego eimi. Ego eimi. Before Abraham was, ego eimi. Before Abraham was, I am. If you understand the nature of biblical revelation, the Gospel of John, chapter 6, chapter 8, chapter 10, chapter 11, chapter 14, chapter 15, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. If you understand the term I am, back to Exodus. Tell them I am who I am has sent you. Tell them Yahweh. If you understand the connection, why there are those who got angry. When Jesus says the words before Abraham was, ego emi, I am. We now have, again, the self-confession of Christ being Yahweh in human flesh. Almighty, eternal, infinite, uncreated God in human flesh. Not an avatar, not a guru Jesus, not again just another psychic Jesus, not just another rabbit's foot Jesus. And the test is going to be again among occultists, among secret society members. Hey, Mason, do you know the living Christ? Do you know Jesus and are you saved? Hey, psychic, do you know Jesus and are you saved? Remote viewer, military man, woman, Wiccan, pagan, druid. Drug lord who bows down and appeases Sante Muerte. Do you know Jesus and are you saved? In the context of this night, it is huge. What I'm asking you is the central issue of why the cross. I mean, there would be no Bible if there's no cross. If there's no cross, there's no fake Jesuses. There's no rabbit's foot Jesus, psychic Jesus, 2012 or Jesus. You know, I'm reading the other day where a man is writing that Quetzalcoatl of the Mayans is a like figure to Jesus. He's just like Jesus, this writer, this author is saying. And I had to my left here another book on human sacrifice with a picture, I believe, out of the Vatican, that shows Quetzalcoatl in what looks like demonized garb and dress with a ritual knife, stabbing it in the eye and through into the skull of a human being in ritual human sacrifice. How could that be anything like Jesus? Can I ask you, in the providence of God, and by really a supernatural arrangement, if you claim that you know about a Christ, that's not the same as knowing the Christ, having a testimony of his living personal presence in your life. It's the only reason why I am here. It's the only reason why the ShatterTheDarkness.net website and all that we do is there. It's what it comes down to all across the board. Even if we found out the location of the Antichrist, it doesn't solve the issue whether or not you know Jesus and whether you are saved. You can know the address of the Antichrist and where the false prophet will ascend from. You can find, if you're able, by some level of detection, the locality of the abyss. Maybe you're a researcher and you're going to go down into the ground and down under the earth and you're going to find Nephilim walking around. What does that have to do with the most important, the issue of who Jesus is and why he did come? Now, if you want to allow in the end of days the spirit of Antichrist and this massive ramping up of the dark side pretending to be light, If you want to allow the dark side pretending to be light turn you into some kind of new age, you know, servant of the light. What light? What light? Gospel of John chapter 1, the scripture says, Jesus Christ is the light of the world. In him is the life. Zoe, the qualitative life that comes down and out of heaven in him, in this infinite, eternal, but in now human flesh, Christ. If you miss who he really is and why he really came, do you think the cubic zirconium, do you think the rabbit's foot Jesus, do you think the vision of a evolved alien Jesus is something you're really going to go after? How many people do you know that have become the alien evolved Jesus? How many people do you know have evolved and became the psychic Jesus? Whom do you know? Whom do you know that can claim to be the same Christ as we read in the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? You know, one of the reasons they want to give obscurity even to the Gospels and present new Gospels and different Gospels, and they're all different messages. Obscure the reality and present a diversion. If you don't understand the end of days, please understand the end of days involves a massive spiritual diversion. They can't destroy the real Christ. They can't destroy the real gospel. They can't stop his work in the world until he comes. They can't even stop him when he's going to come the second time. But the dark side, acting like light, can present like rows and rows and rows of cereal, just boxes and boxes and boxes of all kinds of fake Jesuses, and Jesus with nuts, and Jesus with a gift, and Jesus with, you know, just like cereal, just like a box of cereal, a dressed up but de-deified fake Christ. And not one person in the listening audience, not one person that claims to have an experience with the psychic or Masonic or Mormon or Jehovah Witness or Mooney de-deified Christ. You ever ask the question why all of them, whether it's Scientology, the alienologist, the Mason, the Mormon, and even the remote viewer, why in the world every single one of them collectively announce a Christ who is not God, a Christ who is stripped away from the cross? We even have some of those individuals that wish the Jesus that they respect and look at, but have no reason, no understanding why he went to the cross. They'd love to remove him from the cross and kind of set him off as an example of a evolved being that they themselves will someday become. What day? When will that day arrive? And who promises that? Have you examined the promise of an evolutionary development? Have you examined the false Christ? Have you examined the Christ presented by dozens of other groups, dozens of other cult leaders and revelators? You'll notice that those who declare a de-deified, non-saving Christ, They don't know him. They don't speak of the glories of that salvation. They can't witness to him. They can only talk about extraordinary, off-the-page revelations that lead people far from the cross and deep into the spiritual masquerade predicted by Jesus himself. So can I ask you again tonight? Who is Jesus and why did he come? Like the 78-year-old woman that grabbed my shoulder yesterday, desiring with great love, asking me if I knew Jesus, if I was saved. Well, are you? And do you? We're glad to be back with you here this Monday night on December the 6th. We weren't sure about the continuation of the program. We are deeply appreciative of, even specifically one individual who has enabled us to be here. We're grateful for Global Star Radio, and we're desiring to be here as long as God opens this door for us. As you know, the most we're going to say is this: keep us deeply in your prayers. And listen, if you want to support the entire work that we do, it's vast, it's broad. It is literally, listen, you can go to shatterthedarkness.net. And somebody wrote me today and said, how do you do this? Well, here's the answer. There's a little tab there that says support. You can read. Just click on it and read it all. But starting in 2012, January on, I'm not sure about all the level of support for just the radio station by itself here. So we hope that there are many of you that will say, you know what, we want to make sure that that this program is on all through 2011. We're not going to sell products. We're not going to have commercials. We're not going to do it that way. We have seen that God has opened the door, and that's what we're committed to. If the door is wide open, we will take it. We're glad that hundreds of thousands of downloads and thousands upon thousands of you have listened. We only ask that you consider, if you're praying for us, take a look at the support tab. Remember us coming up in 2011, if you believe this is beneficial, and for such a time as this. Well, thanks for considering it. I've got the music on my back here, and we're ready to say goodnight. Hey, this is Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net. God bless. Good night.